I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's hard to believe as I saw our guests walk through the door. It seems like they were here maybe a month ago, but the fifth annual Doors Open Milwaukee is this weekend, so it's been a year since we've talked about this, and I can remember when it was just a dream and it all worked out just really well. You can bike on the Hank Aaron Trail. You can learn the history of the Menominee Valley while you're biking. Visit Jones Island, known for pioneering the way in modern wastewater treatment technology. You can see the Milwaukee Soldiers Home. I want to start with that, actually. I love that place. Established in 1867. You can listen to Milwaukee historian John Gerda talk about the history of Brewer's Hill or Milwaukee's unlikely founding fathers or the making of Milwaukee. There will be more than 150 buildings open for free to the public. And here to talk about the weekend are two guests who were here exactly 1 year ago to talk about this. John, I think, was here since then talking about other things. Amy Grau is program manager of Doors Open Milwaukee, and that's at Historic Milwaukee. Thank you very much for being with us again, Amy.
Thank you.
Good to see you again.
You as well.
John Gerda is here, our favorite Milwaukee historian, the best Milwaukee historian.
Name three more.
Frank Seidler was a great Milwaukee historian, too, but you're walking in his shoes now. John has a new book, and he just brought it in, and it's gorgeous. Milwaukee City of Neighborhoods will book another show to talk about that book. It's a huge effort, and it's beautiful. John is the author of 21 books on all kinds of topics. He did this fantastic Making of Milwaukee book, which was a feature-length history of the community, and Milwaukee Public Television did this documentary that was based on the book. He's a lecturer, a tour guide, a local history columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he knows everything about this city, and it's always a delight to have him on talking about it. Hi, everybody. Thanks for being with us again.
Nice to be back, Kathleen.
Yeah. And this has really turned out to be this huge hit. I do remember 5 years ago, well, I don't know if it's going to work in Milwaukee. Why? Why has it become so successful year after year after year? Amy?
Well, definitely word of mouth. The people that started coming here just keep coming back to the event.
Yeah.
Keep telling people about it. It's spreading. Like, the media this time, it was effortless. Everyone wants to talk about it. It's such a positive aspect of Milwaukee.
Right.
And it's a really great way of getting into places that you've never been into before. And so people want to do it. They want to be part of it. I think another appealing aspect of it is to be able to explore your city by hearing a little bit of the history and the architecture, but not taking a really long tour. The sites all generally have small tours, so you can take your family, you can take any, it's for the general public, and mm-hmm. they're made for the general public.
Yeah.
And a lot of us travel, you know, we'll go to Chicago and kind of see their sites and travel abroad the rest of the country, and this gives you a chance to be a tourist in your own hometown. And Milwaukee has an awful lot to offer. There are a lot of things that you might not see in the landscape every day when you're passing through, but look, 175 sites, no, there's just a wealth of material here. And I think what it does is kind of elevates the ordinary to a point where people say, oh, this is interesting, this is important. And
right.
the incredible variety is just an attraction that you can't find elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, we'll go through many of them, and we'll welcome phone calls, too. Our number is 800-486-8655. John can provide information about the history of these many buildings in the city, and Amy, of course, will give all kinds of information about it. There's a scavenger hunt, which is a great idea. I've been on one of those since I was 10 in the city of Milwaukee as part of it, and the lecture series and what's public and what's ticketed and when to arrive and all of that. So give us a call at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, @KDunnShow. I know you like to bike. I don't know if you do, Amy. I know John does. But let's start with this Hank Aaron Trail, which is a two-hour bike ride. And that whole part of the city has really developed so much in the last few years. The whole bike trail is wonderful, and it has a very important historical part of Milwaukee's history as well.
Sure. A lot of us recall the Menominee Valley when it was kind of a civic embarrassment.
Really? It stunk.
It stunk, and it was not the place you bring your out-of-town guests and say, you know, look what we have to offer here. But that area, talk about the transformations that a city undergoes. That began as a wild rice marsh, as well as cattails and reeds and rushes that was really important for the Menominee and other Native Americans who lived here, the Potawatomi more recently. Menominee means wild rice, so that's where the name comes from. So that was a critically important resource for Native peoples here. And then by the late 1860s, the other riverfronts are loaded with industry, so the industrialists say, we can fill that in. And they have these horse-drawn scrapers and a lot of hand labor, and they pushed all the gravel from both sides down to the valley and turned what had been a very sinuous river into the system of ruler straight canals. And that became the site of tens of thousands of jobs. That was like the Ruhr Valley in Germany, and certainly the biggest employment center in the entire state of Wisconsin.
Was it really? Oh, my.
It sure was. Everything from machine shops to lumber companies to stockyards to coal piles to tanneries, number of packing plants down there. So it was a really big deal. And then by World War II, people are kind of moving out to the suburbs, or they want this a single-story facility instead of these multi-level, you know, less efficient factories. So that was kind of a wasteland. And you recall when you had the tallow plant down there on 6th Street, and you get a south wind in downtown.
Right.
Depending on where you stood, it was tallow from the south or chocolate from the northwest. Ambrosia and Milwaukee tallow. Now they're both gone. We missed the chocolate company, but certainly not the tallow company. And then in the 1980s, you began to have some movement, but then John Norquist, the new urbanist, you know, certainly wanted to have a change in the valley, and the Menominee Valley Partners get going, and now you've got clean industry. If someone had told you 20 years ago that Harley-Davidson would have this multi-million dollar museum in the heart of the valley, they would have said, nah, never happened.
Right.
And the casino, of course, Potawatomi Casino, since 1991, so it's become a destination, and the Hank Aaron Trail is kind of the thread of that entire district, so you'll be able to see, and you know, talking to the interpreters, you'll see hear about the past as well, and some of the interpretive signage as well, but it gives you the lifeline of that very important part of the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah, and nice to do it by bike, and there will be buses too, and some areas to walk. I like that part of it, that there are little areas where you can do a walking trail, you can go down to the port and see what's going on there. There's a bus you can get on too, right?
Right. There's a shuttle. Milwaukee Food and City Tours offers shuttles throughout various hotels in the downtown area, and then they kind of sprawl out a little bit. And you can take those, I think, every 10 minutes. So a lot of people take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Also this year, Uber is giving free first
rides.
Oh,
they are? Oh, my.
And Bubbler bikes are giving free 30-minute tickets. Yes, if you go to the U.S. Bank building or at City Hall, they'll be passing them out. So you can get a special code and try out the Bubbler bikes.
What a great idea. Mm-hmm.
That is a good idea, because the events are, some are right downtown, but others are spread out a little bit. Okay. So it might be hard to walk to all of those places, huh?
You might not get to Hills Corners, but you can sure cover downtown and the near south, near north neighborhoods.
Absolutely. Let's go a little farther west from the Hank Aaron Trail, or maybe it's a part of this, too. I haven't been on a bike for a long time. But I love this Soldiers' Home area, the history, and this is the 150th anniversary of the end of the Civil War. It might be a good time to go to Soldier's Home, which is really this gem, and what history there is in that place.
And that's one of a kind nationally.
Is it?
It is.
Really?
And it's the women of Milwaukee who made that happen.
Really?
Back in the 1860s. You have these soldiers who were coming home wounded, either physically or mentally, from the Civil War. There was no VA, there was no support system. They were completely on their own. So they would wander into cities, you know, where they would kind of almost like vagrants coming in, and pretty much left to their own devices. And the women of Milwaukee began a soldier's rest home in downtown. It's kind of a place just for R&R, for the returning veterans, and had a great fair back in 1865, and they netted something like $100,000, which is a lot of money back then. And they used that as seed money to convince the federal government to make Milwaukee the site of one of three national asylums for disabled Union veterans.
Oh, my.
So it opens back in 1867. And you've got, I think it's building number 2, Edward Townsend Mix, you know, the wonderful, a Victorian architect, and the Mansfield roof. It's the one you see right behind Miller Park. It's just a landmark you see from the freeway as well. So it opens back in 1867, and they had something like 400 acres out there. And then that was out in the country back in 1867. So it was a popular carriage ride for people to go all the way from Milwaukee out to what's now the VA and kind of drive around that area. See the soldiers raising and lowering the flag, firing the cannon on 4th of July, impromptu bands played. So it was a real center of activity. And it was also, these guys were sometimes thirsty. So along National Avenue on the south side and Blue Mound Road on the north side, you have a number of taverns taking root. So those saloons were serving, now it's, you think of it as Miller Park traffic, but in the early years it was the veterans, you know, were the patrons there. So that became a really important part of the Metro Milwaukee area.
They do Civil War enactments sometimes out there that are so elaborate. Yeah. My goodness, they're wonderful to see. It's a great way to particularly take children to get an understanding of the Civil War.
And there was finally, in the last couple of years, there's been some reinvestment there. But those buildings were in fairly rough shape. And it's the last of the really intact asylums in the entire country.
Yeah, that's definitely worth seeing. There's also, Amy, a scavenger hunt. This is a great idea. I have no idea what the intricacies are of it, but scavenger hunts are a lot of fun.
We have always wanted a scavenger hunt.
Have you?
Yes. It's the perfect time to have a scavenger
hunt. You're right,
hunt.
It is.
But just couldn't figure out a way to craft it properly. So the Go Game, which is based out of San Francisco and does interactive adventures all nationwide, decided to come and help us craft it. So on any phone, iPhone, Android, whatever you have, it will work. You sign up. You can sign up as a team or an individual. It's free. And there's three different kinds of challenges. One is trivia, which is ideal if you're going from location to different locations to do the trivia. One is like taking pictures within sites. So they would show a picture of, say, like 88.9 radio has a specific type of radio shown in their lobby, and they would have, there'd be a picture, find this while you're there, and you'd take a picture of it with your phone. It goes back to the Go Game, and you get points for it. Another one, which I think is so fun, and they designed them for us, is creative challenges. So take a video of yourself with something iconic that everyone knows about Milwaukee in this location, or pose as this, or as creative as you are, is how many points you get. So it depends on what you do as to who's going to be the winner, because there are winners for it. They'll get T-shirts, Doors Open Milwaukee T-shirts, pint glasses, Historic Milwaukee memberships, all at City Hall at 3 p.m. on the Saturday of the scavenger hunt.
So the scavenger hunt is Saturday?
Just Saturday, yes, from 10 to 3. It starts at 10 and it ends at 3.
So you have to be first if you win? You
can start the scavenger hunt anywhere you want. So you can pick whatever you'd like. All of the clues will be on your phone, and once you complete a clue, it erases. So you know how many you have left.
Yeah.
And then at 3 p.m., you come to City Hall, and they'll have collected and tallied up all the numbers, and they'll announce the winners.
Maybe I'll skip my lecture.
You have a couple of them, as I recall. You can't skip both of them, John. And speaking of lectures, you're doing three lectures over the weekend.
Talking about the Brewers Hill history at St. Marcus Lutheran Church on Saturday at 1. Milwaukee's Unlikely Founding Fathers at Central Library, Centennial Hall at 3 on Saturday. And then on Sunday, doing the Making of Milwaukee at Cross Lutheran up on North 19th Street.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be really quiet on Sunday night.
Yeah, I bet you will. Yeah. In the Brewers Hill area, it's one of the first two, most historic neighborhoods?
Brewers Hill and Walker's Point are probably the two oldest neighborhoods in Milwaukee, you know, that have a pretty important remnant of their 19th century architecture. And that area is just north of the Schlitz Brewery, which is why it's called Brewers Hill. And settlement there begins back in as early as the 1850s and 60s. And that area is fascinating for a couple of reasons. First of all, it dates from a time when you had people who owned factories and people who swept them lived on the same blocks because they had to live close to everything. This was a walking city. And then you fast forward nearly a century, and that area was, there was what you describe as radical disinvestment. That place was just about falling down around the remaining residents' ears, lost half its population, and a lot of buildings. And then 1970s, people, this is not any kind of official effort, 1970s, people who just liked old houses began to buy these up for $5,000, $10,000 and live in construction zones for a number of years and bring those back to life. And a lot of things are going on. The Schlitz Brewery closes but is reborn as Schlitz Park. The Park East Freeway comes down, so that psychological barrier between downtown and the north side is erased. And what happens is you have this burst of energy there that becomes so intense that Commerce Street down the river below is lined with some of the priciest condos in the city. You've got the old Weinberg Shoe Factory is now expensive loft, other condo units. And there are new houses built to resemble the old ones. So if there were an Urban Lazarus Award, Brewers Hill would certainly win it. It's a fascinating neighborhood.
And some of the views are gorgeous,
sure
too,
are.
Aren't they?
Sure are, yep.
Some of the prettiest in the city.
And this year, for the first time, Historic Brewers Hill is actually giving a tour as a site. So what sometimes neighborhoods do, say Thurston Woods is another great example, there aren't enough buildings to actually tour themselves, so they do kind of a walking tour and explain the history, kind of just like John did, kind of walk you through the neighborhood a little bit and tell you what was there and, you know, what's to come. So that is actually a site this year for the first time. Brewers Hill is represented indoors open.
And yeah. you can take a break and visit the Lakefront Brewery down there on Commerce Street.
Great. Let's talk about the Pabst for a moment. I must say that I haven't been wandering around that area at all since it's been renovated. And there's I was reading a speakeasy in there that will be open. Is it a speakeasy?
What, Ray Jackson's?
Does that ring a bell with anybody?
The two night spots there are
Prohibition era speakeasy.
Best place is the old visitor center. If you ever did a tour of the brewery, that's where you ended up.
No, I haven't.
This is way back in the 60s, 70s. Remember, we used to, you tried to hit them on the hour, Schlitz, Miller, and Pabst, and tried to find someone who would pour with a heavy hand. Sometimes we got lucky. But that's the old Pabst Tour Center, and that's the best place. Jim Hurdle's got that, and it's been pretty much restored to what it looked like, as a lot of us recall it back in the 60s and 70s. Then Ray Jackson's, what's it called, Amy? The Blue Ribbon
Blue
Inn?
Blue Ribbon, yeah.
You know, it was right next door to the hotel there. And the hotel actually has repurposed these wonderful copper brewing kettles. We had my high school reunion there this summer.
Huh.
Yeah, we kind of lounged around there where they used to make a whole lot of beer. So those are the two.
The Brewhouse Inn and Suites.
Huh. Ray Jackson's and the best place. So there's a lot to see there.
Yeah. And this going to the top of the tower in City Hall and ringing the bell now is a pretty big thing. Why is that such a big attraction?
It's really neat. Finally,
it is. It is for you, too. It's really neat.
Saying that.
Scotty, too. Scotty likes it? Yeah.
So people always assume that I've been to every site and been to every tour, which is false.
It'll be hard to do that, Amy.
It's just been about 2 weeks ago since I actually went up to the City Hall Bell Tower tour to see what all the buzz was about.
Bring the bell?
I did.
You did? Oh,
I did.
Cool.
And it was fantastic. A little scary, and the staircases go up and up and up. But that's one of the tours that you actually need a ticket for.
Okay,
it's free, but in that soldier's home as well, you have to come at 9 a.m. Well, tickets are distributed at 9 a.m. on the day of the tour. So soldier's home is on Saturday, and City Hall Bell Tower tour is both days on the hour. So there are a few more tickets for that, but it is a wanted tour. There are people who come to City Hall at 6:37 in the morning to wait in line. I'm not kidding. The line can sometimes go around. I mean, but don't be, viewer or listeners, please don't still do it, because there's plenty of tours for the bell tower, but still. It is a wanted tour. It is really neat.
And U.S. Bank Center is open again?
Yes.
And that's the sort of the bird's eye view, 601 feet up there.
That is definitely the fan favorite.
And I've waited around the block for that one, too.
Have you?
You have, of all people?
No,
they didn't
put you
to the top of the line?
No.
I'm writing a book about this, you should have said, John.
Try not to pull rank, but it's a great view. It's a wonderful view.
Last year, 8,000 people went to the top of that
situation. No kidding, 8,000 people?
And the Gaslight Company as well. No, that's open again this year, isn't it?
It is this year, yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes.
That's a good Milwaukee landmark.
And that was new for the first time last year, I think.
It wasn't in last year. It was
the year before?
Yes, the year before.
But you can get out on the decks. This is a wonderful Eschwiler building, Alexander Eschwiler.
Yes.
Get on the decks and kind of look over the east side of downtown.
Yes. And City Hall, give us the history again. City Hall is a pretty important building in this community.
Sure is. Yeah, 1895 is when it was built. Unique in the entire country. And a very difficult site, kind of this odd shape, sort of a wedge, built on a forest of pilings because obviously you're there by the river. So there's wetland there, which is why, you know, there's still some rehab going on as that has settled. But talk about a deep bow to Milwaukee's Germanic traditions. The style is described as Flemish Renaissance, but it's the step gables and all the Baroque terracotta ornament. And all these are things you could fairly easily see on a smaller scale in a Rathaus in Germany. So it really is kind of an ethnically inspired building. And it was Milwaukee's first million-dollar building when it opened back in 1895 and was until, I think, the 1970s, the tallest building on the skyline. So it is, if there were an iconic structure in Milwaukee, that would certainly be it. You know, there is nothing like it anywhere in the country.
Is it in? Is it going to survive?
Yes, it will. Definitely. Okay. No, they spent 70-plus million restoring the interior, interior and exterior, so... even the thought of, you know, moving elsewhere, the city government tearing it down would be certainly heresy.
Right, I would think so.
Yep. No, I think that building's in good shape for generations to come.
Another hit I know, and I must say I've never been there, maybe you have by now, Amy, is the Jones Island.
Oh, it is. And I just wanted to clarify before we into that the Milwaukee Gaslight Company on Vernon is open, but the actual Gaslight building, sadly, is not.
Oh, it's not?
This
okay,
year.
I misspoke.
I just don't want people to go there.
It
was, but
sorry,
they couldn't at last minute, sadly. Okay. So hopefully next year.
That's on East Wisconsin Avenue, just so the listeners know. The one that's open is the old Gas Works in the Menominee Valley at about 25th on the north side of the valley. And that's now an architectural firm, which has done wonderful.
Oh, I've seen that.
It's right.
Beautiful.
Zimmerman.
Yep. To Run the River. Right.
Yep. Yes.
So Jones Island, designated a National Historic Civil Engineering Landmark in 1926.
It should be.
That was a big deal. It should be. Why?
Because we were among the first in the country to have the activated sludge method of sewage treatment. Our sludge did not just stand around. We had active sludge. And what that meant was you introduced bacteria to the waste, and it pretty much ate it. And in just a marvelous act of civic recycling, what Milwaukee decided to do was when those bacteria had eaten their fill, they were dried and bagged and sold as?
Mill organite.
We were the first to do that. Now, a lot of plants do it, but Milwaukee was the first. And that goes back to 1925. So it's been on the scene for a very long time. And I think one of the attractions are, I got shut out for that tour about 3 years ago. I showed up on time, and the line was just too long. But I think you get, a 5-pound bag of Milwaukee?
You get a 5-pound bag of Milwaukee. Maybe that's why.
Maybe so.
This year they've crafted it a little different, which I think is going to be, they're also a family passport site, which means that, you know, they're deemed one of the 24 family-friendly locations.
Yeah, bring your kids.
It is. It's definitely one of my top five. I know that's shocking.
It is.
Top five favorite tours.
Why,
of
Amy?
It's so neat. You learn so much, and it's amazing. They take you on a little on a bus and go through the whole facility, all the way up to the Milorganite process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're going to give 30-minute tours and 60-minute tours this year, where it's in years past, they just gave the longer tour. So that way, it'll be a little more family-friendly. They're going to take out the Milorganite aspect and go through the actual just water process through. So it'll be great. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. And a lot
easier. Well, it's a good thing to know about, too.
Yeah, we should know what happens when the turn on the tap or flush. You know, that's
we should know. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
And in the general area is the port. What's the importance of Milwaukee's port? What goes to that port? What goes through that port?
Boy, a lot of commodities. Early on, that's why Milwaukee's here. You know, we have the best harbor on the western shore of the lake, which is in the age of sail is why cities took root. And that's absolutely true in Milwaukee's case. By the time the 20s roll around, the boats are too big to dock in the inner harbor, which is where they had in the Kinnickinnick Basin and on up the Milwaukee River. So the outer harbor was constructed back in 1925, and then the Seaway, St. Lawrence Seaway, opens in what, 59, I think, late in the 50s. So all of a sudden, for a while at least, we're an ocean port. Then the boats got too big to come up the St. Lawrence Seaway. You had other issues with invasives in the ballast water of the ocean ships as well. But now, if you look at the traffic down there, the port is still turning a profit and still an important shipper of agricultural products, you know, on the elevators down there. Corn and soybeans, steel. I was down there, we bike up there from Jones Island to Jones Island from Bayview, where we live. And there are parts for mining machinery, you know, from Joy Global. They're waiting to be shipped. And a lot of road salt that comes in that supplies the entire region. So it's still a busy port.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's really taken off, and we need to do another show on this soon, is this whole freshwater institute that's located in that general area as well. Milwaukee is to be the center, maybe it is already, in the country, if not the world, for freshwater science.
Certainly the School of Freshwater Sciences, I think it's the only one in North America.
Is it?
And one of three in the world. So it's a rather rare educational institution. And that's on the tour, Amy?
I think it is, yes.
School of Freshwater Sciences.
I wrote it down, so I think it is.
And just not too far inland, the Global Water Center at 24/7 Freshwater Way is also, it's the old Pittsburgh Avenue. Mm-hmm. That is also on the tour. The Reed Street Yards, just to the west, which will be kind of an incubator for water-based industries. And where that comes from is Milwaukee was such an important brewing center that you had a lot of ancillary industries that made materials, machines that measured, handled, transformed, somehow worked with liquids. So we had that infrastructure everywhere from Badger Meter. Rich Musin has been a real active participant in that effort. To A.O. Smith is now a leader in water heaters. So it's kind of building on our core strengths, building on things that have been around for a very long time.
We're going to welcome phone calls and emails and Facebook messages. We're talking about Doors Open Milwaukee. It's the fifth annual. It's this weekend. 150 buildings will be open. There are biking events going on the Hank Aaron Trail. There are walking tours to take, and a wonderful way to learn about wonderful buildings in the city and learn a piece of history as well. We have two guests with us in our studio in Milwaukee. Amy Grau is program manager of Doors Open Milwaukee at Historic Milwaukee, and John Gerda, Milwaukee historian and author. John has a brand new book, Milwaukee City of Neighborhoods, and we'll book him for a conversation on that book in the upcoming weeks. Join us. We'd love to hear from you. Some of you, I'm sure, were on the tour, your own tour, sometime during the last 5 years. We'll give you more information about when it starts and how many of the events are free and when you need to sign up for one. And if you wonder if something's on the tour, well, give us a ring. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, Twitter is at K Dunn Show. Our guests are in our Milwaukee studios, and we'll be with you in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And let's go to John in Menominee for our first call. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, first I have to say I'm a big fan of John Gerda. I just happen to work at the printer where the book was printed.
Oh, you? Oh,
but
great.
I was too starstruck to approach him.
John? Oh, you can go up to John. He's fine.
Absolutely.
So I am going to volunteer. I have orientation on Saturday morning at City Hall.
Well, good for you.
Can you tell me more about what will go on?
Oh, for orientations? Is that what you're asking? Our volunteer coordinator will just kind of go through some of the general things that you are to expect as a volunteer. It's really pretty basic and easy. So easy that we actually need many more volunteers.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Oh.
So,
what number might they call, Amy?
They could go onto the Doors Open Milwaukee website, doorsopenmilwaukee.org, and go under the volunteer area. And it's easy as can be, as you know. It's usually a four-hour shift, and you are expected to come to an orientation, which is really quick and easy. There's pretty much a volunteer. What they're responsible to do is greet visitors, hand out doors open material, and just kind of help with traffic control.
Hmm.
And a shout-out to Burton and Meyer Printing, which printed the neighborhood book and a lot of the materials for Doors
for
Open
Doors
Milwaukee.
Open,
yep.
Yes.
Thank
he
you
did
very
a
much.
Beautiful job.
Sure did.
But he doesn't need to be starstruck seeing you. You're a pretty accessible guy, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you just go up to him and ask him about some part of Milwaukee history, and he'll talk to you.
Absolutely.
And the new book, let's mention it for a moment. We'll do a full hour with you in the not-too-distant future about what a beauty this is.
Yeah, it's based on those neighborhood posters that DCD put out back in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote essays in the backs of those that no one saw because they're in the back of a poster.
So those
were updated, and we added 10 new neighborhoods, and it's now a 466-page book, 37 neighborhoods. So it's as I said earlier, I saw the size of the book, and I said, no wonder I'm tired.
It is a beauty, John. And you're doing a book signing this week, right, Thursday?
Next Thursday, the 24th, at the Grain Exchange. And again, Doors Open is sponsored by Historic Milwaukee Incorporated, and they're the publisher as well. So
mm-hmm.
you can find out about the book on their website.
Is the Grain Exchange open?
Yes.
Yep.
And tell us about that building. That's a big one, too, in this area.
It's a wonderful building. And if there were one building that sort of told the story of Milwaukee in the 19th century, and visually, with visual aids, that would be it. It began as a place where grain was traded at a time when Milwaukee was a really important wheat port and part of an important wheat state. And the pit that became kind of a fixture in exchanges around the country, that was developed right in that building in Milwaukee. So you've got the big murals of native agriculture, the Port of Milwaukee, Pioneer Field, and then way, way up at the high end of the room on the east side, you have a picture of manufacturing, which was kind of threatening the grain trade as the next stage in Milwaukee's economy. So it was kind of grudging acknowledgement that, oh, okay, you know, we'll manufacture, too. It's a great room, wonderful room.
Yeah, nice. This one goes for you, Amy. Judy in Sherwood says, it all sounds great, but where does the tour start? And where can I find out more information about it? Are paper event guides available?
They are. If you don't, it came out in the Sunday Journal Sentinel. So if you're a subscriber, you had it in there. However, you can download the actual print event guide on doorsopenmilwaukee.org. It's right on the homepage. Event guides will be available at every single location that is participating in Doors Open Milwaukee, and you can begin your journey through Doors Open anywhere you'd like. So you just check the hours and the times of the hours and the days that the sites are open and start between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. anywhere you'd like. There's so many different neighborhoods involved this year, over 30, and various new ones from Wauwatosa, West Ellis, Hales Corners, Harambe, River West, a lot in River West. Those are all brand new to the event this year. So I'm suggesting to many people to start where you're coming from or the direction that you're coming from and work your way into the downtown area so you can see as much as possible mm-hmm. over the weekend.
Yeah. And it's nice. I was looking. I started printing. I thought I was going to get 150 places, but instead I started printing it. All of a sudden I said to KP, how do you stop this printer? I was going to print 284 pages, which was ridiculous. But it's a nice layout, so if you have time to just go to the computer and go through some of these places and learn about them, you can have a little bit of history as you embark on your tour.
Right, and there's on the website, there's actually, if you go on doorsopenmilwaukee.org and go under the list of buildings, there's an add to your map feature. So the ones that you're interested in, you click on, and at the end, you go up to the top of the list and you say, print my map, and it prints not only prints out the map for
nice.
You,
oh.
but it tells you a little bit about each one so you know where you're going. And
what a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that a great? It prints your own map.
Mm-hmm, your own little itinerary, whatever
oh,
you choose.
Oh, this world. Isn't this world something?
See, as So you hit checkout and it gets it for free.
No.
But boy, I think it's really important to stress that people really should prep before they start coming down. I mean, there's a great deal in the heart of town, but as Amy said, you know, from Hales Corners up to Bayside, you know, the Schlitz Audubon Center. So there is so much.
Yes.
It's important, I think, to do some prioritizing before you begin to do your visit.
And one of the things that we have every year, which I highly encourage for families, is that family passport. So we deem the 24 family-friendly locations. So it's extremely overwhelming for people with small children to look at this and like, where are my children going to enjoy? Like, I don't have a clue as to where to even begin. So we help them out by providing that passport.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, the whole list is on page 3 of the paper guide, and I'm sure it's in the same order in the website as well.
Okay. Our number, if you want to join us on the air, is 800-486-8655. Lines are open for you. We have a lot of messages coming in, but feel free to call as well, 800-486-8655. Liz writes to us on Facebook, have you seen the book of pictures of all the Milwaukee Public Schools put together by Carl Osman? Aren't there quite a few schools that are open for the event this weekend?
I've not seen that book, if it's a book. I've seen collections of school photographs, some other materials, certainly some good historical materials, but I've not seen a book. How many? Just a couple schools,
There are
Amy.
Some schools.
There's quite a few schools. I'd say at least 10.
Oh, my. That many.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Some of them have been changed into other things, but I'm saying they're even originally a school.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, at least 10.
Okay. And this goes to you, John. In 1874, a Milwaukee Sentinel article called the Menominee the River of Death, disgusting in the extreme to the site and fearfully offensive to the effectories.
That certainly is an accurate quote. It's one I used. It's actually in the neighborhood book.
Is it?
Yeah. What they were talking about, it was on the South Canal. And it was a distillery that would just dump its mash into the water, and there was no current, so this stuff would just it would just sit there and cook. So there's some very colorful prose about the state of Milwaukee's waterways back in the 19th century. We did Claudia Luz and I did a documentary called Milwaukee City Built on Water.
It was great.
It's the last time I was.
Yes,
here,
it
Kathleen.
Was. Yep. It was a great show.
And it streams. You can go to Google Milwaukee City Built on Water, and you can watch it any time of day or night.
All right. Sheila is next in Boscobel. Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
Hi.
I used to live in Milwaukee until I got handicapped, and I used to work in the building they called the Grain Exchange, and they used to have an elevator that was person-operated. Do they still have that elevator?
I think the elevator's there. The man's long gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that building's being, the historic Milwaukee happens to be located in the building right next door, in the Mitchell Building. And the Grain Exchange, the room itself has been restored, but there was a false ceiling and there were offices upstairs. And I think there's only one left, and now that's being converted to apartments. The whole upstairs is being converted to apartments. So I was in there with Stacy Swadis, the executive director of Historic Milwaukee, a couple weeks ago, and there's amazing transformations going on.
Hmm. I have yet to take a look. But speaking of handicap accessibility, one of the things that we did this year that we've always wanted to do but finally took the initiative, is to put first floor fully handicapped accessible on every single site. So
great.
When you go through the list on the website, it's very specific. This year we would just put handicap accessible, and this time we went an extra step and made sure to let people know how much they can see within the facility this year.
Good idea.
Yeah, that is good, Amy. Thanks, Sheila, for your call. Brad in Lake Geneva. Hi.
Hi. I was curious to find out, because I'm on the road and I have no access to the internet, I was wondering if you could elaborate about the possibility of the Milwaukee Sloan Coke plant possibly being on the tour.
The Milwaukee Solvay Coke plant is gone. There is a ruin there on the southeast side, but I think urban spelunkers, my son included, have kind of poked around that site over the years, but right now that is kind of awaiting redevelopment. The ovens,
right.
Ovens have been pretty well kind of deconstructed.
Right. Okay.
You can still see it. I can recall it's where that is. It's on the kind of the inner side of the Kinnickinnick Basin, and that was a place where they would reduce coal to coke as a foundry fuel, and it was Milwaukee's eternal flame because all the excess gas would just be burned off.
Hmm. Yeah, I only ask because I was born in Milwaukee in 1978, and my father worked there for a long time before the plant shut down. I thought it was a possibility that they may have some kind of a ruins tour.
That'd be interesting. It's in pretty rough shape.
Right.
We used to sit there in the siding with a six-pack and just watch them pull coke, which was a lot of fun.
That does sound like a really good time.
Yeah, we'll do that on dates. See this acrid smoke kind of rising.
Did you get a lot of dates that way?
They took a rare girl.
It was a rare girl. Are you coming into the event, Brad?
Yes, I will be.
Great.
I have a wife and a daughter, and I think we'll kind of head down and try to show a few things that I've seen growing up.
Oh, wonderful.
Great. If you ever have suggestions like that, make sure to contact me and throw them my way. I'm always interested in what people are interested in, especially if there's a history like that there. Say, like, Wheat Energies or the old Gimbel Schuster's. I mean, that's in as a tour this year. I've received so many emails about people who've worked there 46 years ago. It's really a really great piece of Milwaukee history.
And I was actually in contact with somebody about a month ago who was looking for information on the history of Solvay Coke. So if you pass on your contact information to Kathleen, I'll pass that on to the people who are trying to do Solvay Coke background.
All right, Brad, do you know how to do that? Or you want to talk to Scotty?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Otherwise, that'll be good. I will do that. I appreciate you guys talking about it. And I never even heard about this until today. I just happened to be on the road.
Oh, good, good.
Sounds like an excellent thing. I appreciate it.
Oh, good.
Great. What a good day you're having. I'll put you on hold, and Scotty will get information, and we'll get your information that way. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. I'm glad because I think they do an incredible amount of good work in this country, and they're little noticed that Arts at Large is you can go to Arts at Large, and they also still have the Civil Rights, which I haven't seen yet, Civil Rights baseball exhibit going on.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, but I'm really excited that a little bit more of like the Walker's Point area is represented this year. So yeah, I hope they get a great turnout over there.
Mm-hmm. I hope so too. Jim in Wausau, hi.
Hey, Kathleen, hi. I appreciate the attention to water and water treatment today. That happens to be my old profession. I'm retired now, but yes, Milwaukee is a center for the development of water treatment technologies and a lot of good companies in the Milwaukee area. And actually, that trend, as I think your guest knows, extends all over the state. Up here in Wausau, we are home to Zempro, which is a company in that business, is now part of Siemens. Down in Waukesha is the Envirex organization, which is now part of Evoqua, and lots of companies around Wisconsin. Of course, one we see all over the country is Nina Foundry, who makes all of the manhole covers that you see on streets and sidewalks in metropolitan areas. So it's a strong business for the state, and it's a good business.
Absolutely.
It's doing a lot of good work.
And one that will grow as water becomes a more and more critical issue.
That's right. I mean, we don't experience the water issues here in the state that they might be experiencing in Texas or California. Certainly we do have water issues here, but not the drought conditions that they have out there. But yes, our technologies are going to be in demand.
Yep, absolutely.
They sure are. Thank you, Jim, so much for your call.
You bet.
Patricia writes on Facebook, I have my doors open year number 5, list of buildings that a friend and I will visit both days. Does it make sense? We talked about this a little bit before. How many buildings should you think about? Most people do this in a day. Some do 2 days. But should you say, 10 in a day? Or do you have any guidelines?
The average is about 10.
Is it?
I'd say it's half of that for families. And some people, they map it out by the minute and probably visit about 21.
So the speed daters.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they have it all down. I haven't seen, we have surveys at the end of the event, and I haven't seen anything higher than 25.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
That doesn't even sound fun.
No.
No, it doesn't.
We've thought about that, a competition. Let's see if we can have someone visit all of the sites, but that defeats the purpose of the entire
event. You want these things to soak in.
Exactly.
Yeah. More phone calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. To Deborah in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi.
this is a great show, and I would like to ask you a question about a church. I think it's on 4th Street. It's very old, but it's not the oldest because I just Googled that. But it's 4th between Lloyd and Brown. And the clock never worked, and I bought an automobile from someone who actually built clocks and repaired old clocks or all kinds of clocks. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to get that clock working again?
It probably would. You know what she's talking about, John?
If it's on 4th Street, it might be St. Francis, which is an old German Catholic church right in the south end of Halyard Park, and that's the center of, among others, Puerto Rican worship. If it's Lloyd Street, it's the I think that's probably the one because that's closer to Lloyd. There's also the old Trinity Church, which is just a block west of King Drive, and that's again an old German church. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole area was quite German. By no means the oldest. Those buildings probably go back to the 1880s, perhaps, 1890s. But still, especially St. Francis, that's a really vibrant parish.
There are a lot of churches on the tour.
Sure are.
There really are. And that's some people just map their weekend out by churches.
I'm sure they do. Right. Let's go to all the churches.
The thing about Doors Open, it's one of the best things about it is that there are at least 30, if not more, churches. A ton, is that you can walk into a church that you're not affiliated with and feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to, you know, bother you. Just learn about the history and the architecture of them.
Right.
So they're really highly attended.
If you've had Lutheran phobia, just walk into any of those Lutheran churches. And Milwaukee, we got such a wonderful church tradition. All the ethnic groups, you know, who were here, and all the range of ethnic groups, they would all build houses of worship. So you've got the area around Walker's Point that probably has the highest concentration of 19th century church buildings in the state, perhaps in the Midwest. I'm not sure there's anything in Chicago that's quite that dense. And Yankee Hill, all the Anglo-American face as well, and just wonderful churches there as well.
Mm-hmm. Deborah, thanks very much for your call. Miriam, is it from Milwaukee? Hi.
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 I'm interested in those green elevators on 43rd and Lincoln. Have they been standing empty all these years? And I notice right now it looks like something's happening on that corner, and I was just wondering what's going to happen.
The big elevators there are Freighter Malt, which is very much in business. And what they do is they take barley, soak it, sprout it, and then dry it, and that becomes the main raw ingredient for beer. So they have that huge sign up there, kind of a big F with a bullseye. It says, "Better beer starts here." And that's... There used to be a lot more malting plants up there. Krause was up there. They used to call that the Malt Belt from National Avenue down to Lincoln Avenue. So those are largely gone, but Freighter still stands tall and proud in that neighborhood and still very much in business.
Hmm. The Frank Lloyd Wright American System built home on 2714 West Burnham. Were there plans over the years? Did Wright have plans to really have a lot of homes in this city?
Not in this city. That's a lot of fun. That whole block is the block with the highest concentration of Wright designed homes in the world.
Is it? I didn't know that.
It is. They're small. No, they're
right.
They're duplexes and a couple single families on Burnham between Layton Boulevard and 28th. And that's my old neighborhood. I can recall when those were pretty much. They weren't falling down, but they were not getting a lot of tender, loving care. And those, just in the last 15, 20 years, those have been rediscovered. UWM has done a really wonderful job of putting together preservation efforts, and seeing those is seeing Frank Lloyd Wright's attempt to translate his designs to moderate income and even low income housing. So this is affordable housing. And that was not Wright developing them. It was Mr. Richards, who was kind of a developer in Milwaukee, who put those up kind of as models, but also as buildings that he would sell. And they didn't quite take the world by storm, but you have that wonderful concentration of American system-built houses right here in Milwaukee. There were others around the Midwest, others around the country, but that is the highest concentration.
So people can go in this. Are there people living in this house?
No, no, they're toured during Doors Open. They're a huge draw. So
I would imagine they are.
And should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. The community, Concordia Gardens, 35 community gardens, that's been a big thing in this city for a while now, too, hasn't it?
That has. You know, urban ag has certainly become really hot. You have growing power, you know, that are things that are more nationally known.
Right.
But on the local level, you've got people taking these vacant lots. It's kind of... In the inner city, like Concordia Gardens, up there in the Harambee neighborhood, it's a means of transforming lots that have been cleared of housing into things that are productive and community building. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful transformation.
Yeah, it's nice. All right, we need to get hard information here. We have about a minute left. Amy, what should people do?
Oh my gosh, is that an open-ended question?
I know.
You have a minute to respond.
Well, you should definitely check out City Hall this year because there's so much going on. There's an art exhibit there. The mayor will be there. His office will be open again, so you can sit in his desk. And that's Doors Open Milwaukee headquarters. But as far as what you should see during Doors Open out of the 176 sites, that's crafted up to you.
Yes.
Yeah, go online, make your priorities, and come on down.
Right. Plan your tour.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you both very much for being with us. Thank you. It was great. Great. And I'm so glad that I remember when we were talking about this before it even opened, and I thought, when the weekend happened, this is great. And here it is. It's still great. It's even greater all these years later.
It is. Yeah. When it first started, it started out with about 10,000 people, and this year we're expecting about 30,000 people to come.
Wonderful. Yeah. Good. Thank you both very much for being with us. And John, we'll set a date when we can have you talking about your new book, which is gorgeous. Thanks to John Gerda, Milwaukee historian, whose new book is Milwaukee City of Neighborhoods. He has a kickoff for that this Thursday at the Grain Exchange Building. And Amy Grau, program manager of Doors Open Milwaukee. Thanks to Scott Myers and KP Whaley.